Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 97, wear sunscreen. So begins a famous commencement speech long attributed to Kurt Vonnegut. This speech doesn't claim to know what success looks like. The advice is more about being human. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Floss. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. And most importantly, for our purposes today, don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. For as long as kids have been graduating, grown-ups have been treating that milestone as an opportunity to give unsolicited advice. And sure, maybe that's always been misguided and not particularly appreciated, but I get the feeling past generations did it with confidence, believing they knew something that might be useful. I'm Gina Kaufman, and my question today is, does anyone have solid advice for the people just now embarking on the journey of adulthood in 2019? Does advice based on your own experience remain applicable in today's economy? This technological reality, this political moment, 816-235-2888 is the number to call if you have advice. Believe it or not, we want to hear it. 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCURCST. This show was inspired by my friend Kendrick Blackwood. He's from Kansas City and he teaches high schoolers in China. Hi, Kendrick.
Hi, Gina.
You are all the way in China, so that's why you sound kind of far away, I guess. You have taught in Kansas City, in Morocco, now in China, where and high schoolers are getting ready to graduate. There is a certain pressure to have advice for them. Is that right?
I feel very obligated, yes, to have something useful to say. And I've had lines before, but I am at my wit's end. So I'm taking copious notes today, and I hope you get some good suggestions.
You wrote something on Facebook about this, and I'm going to have you read it in a second. But for context, I feel like people need to know a little bit of your backstory. When we met, you were a print journalist. We were colleagues at The Pitch, and you were, sadly, one of the casualties when print journalism spontaneously combusted. You did a stint in local politics, working for Mayor Mark Funkhauser, and then you went back to school to become a teacher. That is where you found your true calling. It turns out you really like teaching, and it's taken you all over the world. Is that a fair summary?
That's a very succinct and nicely done summary. Thank you.
Kendrick Blackwood, this is your life. I should add that you have a teenage son, so this question of what's the advice isn't just professional, it's personal.
I value my students very much, and I do treat them not exactly like children, but I feel that same sort of loyalty to them, I guess. But yes, to fill out your point, he's basically a ninth grader at the international school. He's called an S1. He is 15 and growing taller every day, and soon, within the next 2 years, we'll have to really talk about what's next for him.
The question you posed on Facebook is, what's the advice now? What's the advice for today's high school grads? And I'd like you to read what you wrote next.
All right, I shall do it. In Kansas, it was get your butt to college any way possible. And study nursing if you don't mind touching poop. In Morocco, it was get your butt to America any way possible and graduate from any university. You can then come back and rule Morocco. But here and now, I am unsure what to say. How do today's teens chart a course towards some sort of viable professional adulthood? Is a university degree required? Is Asia, America, Europe, the best continent for stability and success? And where the heck is this thing headed? I am the class of 1987, when a university degree was spoken of as the equivalent of a high school diploma for our parents, the minimum requirement for any respectable job. All of my peers were going to be lawyers, it seemed like. I was going to be a lawyer too, just like my dad. Then I felt like a rebel to abandon that track for journalism, which I sort of drifted into. I was competent, but not passionate, and then that died. Politics was a lucky, horrific four-year chapter. Teaching is the first job I've felt passionate about, and it happens to work overseas in a way it does not in the States. And this week's riddle is, What is the dream for my students? What university, priority, goal is the right one to encourage and celebrate? It seems like my generation has been through an evolving economy that has made multiple bosses and multiple careers a near certainty for all but a very lucky few of us. I feel in a way like Indiana Jones running from that rolling boulder, jumping that deep pit, and sliding under the falling door. Now I've emerged into the sunlight with the idol, but so far I haven't seen Belloc. I don't know that it is a given that my son's generation will experience the same rate of change. It could be more wild or less so. And I don't know whether a university degree is any longer the achievement test of, quote, respectability it once was. For so many, it has become instead an albatross of student loan debt that impedes rather than advances.
That's a lot to take in. This question of not just whether college is where you go to build a solid future, but like what continent is best. It's interesting to me that once you've uprooted yourself and location is in no way a given, even that is part of the weird Rubik's Cube you're trying to solve at 18.
Yeah, I think technology continues to change the entire landscape in a very dramatic way. I do think the competitors for our Kansas City teens could be my students here in Shenzhen, China.
So, of course, we now have even political candidates suggesting that with the path technology is on, there might not even be jobs for all of the people who need to make money pretty soon. So the kind of unknown that exists out there is huge. Is your sense that your students are thinking about that?
I think they get it in a way that I might lump you in with me, Gina.
Yeah, sure.
No offense, but
not offended.
I think they understand instability in a way that perhaps we didn't. I really sensed as a high schooler that if I showed up to class and I got good grades, I was fortunate enough to have parents that would support me at university. So that loan debt specter was not there for me in a lucky way. But I really thought if I minded my P's and Q's, I'd wind up in a career. That career would lead to family. I'd be happy. End of story, you know. These students, and I went around the classroom today just asking, what do your parents expect for you? What do you expect for yourself? And they seem much more aware of the uncertainty and the dramatic changes that happen nationally, internationally, economically, environmentally. I just think their reality is uncertainty.
And they're aware of it.
Yeah, I don't know whether that prepares them. I guess they're aware they can't really prepare.
You know, so you put this post on Facebook saying, what's the advice now? What did you hear back? Did people give advice that you found compelling?
Compelling. I have no idea which of them are useful. So it ran the range from become a plumber. You still have to touch poop, of course, but it's good, stable work and et cetera, to, oh my gosh, go into the creative arts, which as a writer married to a musician, the creative arts, and also my son, if he has a talent, it's with words and writing and creativity. So there was this bent of focus on creativity because that's the one thing the robots won't be able to replace, to take the gap year, which if you had asked me 2 years ago about gap year, I just would have rolled my eyes and gagged myself. But that's naive 2 years ago. I was only 48 then, Gina. I wasn't quite as wise as I am
just
now,
a child.
Yeah, exactly. But that sense of the advice is all over the place because there are no rules. We thought there were rules, and in the end, they sort of turned around and bit us in the butt. I've already used the word butt twice, so that's acceptable.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, okay. So we are in the Wild West of advice because nobody knows anything anymore. But listeners, now is your chance. The advice you're dying to give that no one has asked you for yet. We are asking you, what's your advice for high school graduates, and does it apply in 2019, or might it be advice from another world? Either way, we want to hear your take. 816-235-2888 is the number to call. I want to take just a couple of these calls. I am intrigued by Mike in Lawrence. Hi, Mike.
Hello, ma'am. How are you doing?
Great. And I love that you called me ma'am.
Pounded into me from birth, ma'am. Fourth generation soldier.
Go on. What is your advice to high school graduates?
I have a slightly unique perspective. My mom was a West Berlin native. My parents met and married at Checkpoint Charlie. And just from the history of the family, and once I got into it, it actually got a little bit of exciting from a nerdy standpoint. Read your Constitution. Especially right now, it seems more like a fascist oligarchy is trying to control the free market that we have set up. And
we don't have time to dig into that at the moment, but go on.
But also, you understand a lot better the difference between rights and privileges. And I think that makes your life easier to understand that, you know, there's just so many things that you take for granted are actually privileges. Sleeping in your own bed. You know, I got to spend years not sleeping in my own bed. So when I come back, I have that privilege. And right now, too, when you have the conflict you have going on between three co-equal branches of the government, each one is as powerful as the other, you start to understand what is happening a little bit better at the White House, and perhaps why our commander-in-chief has failed in certain aspects in keeping his oath
Mike,
and uphold the Constitution.
I do. So your advice to young high school grads is to read the Constitution, know the Constitution, know the difference between rights and privileges. So you're talking about preparing for citizenship.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you, Mike. That is a useful and intriguing perspective, and I think we should all probably, yes, read the Constitution. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You have a groovy day.
You too. Let's talk to Todd. Todd is with us from Kansas City. Hello, Todd.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Hey, I really connected from the onset of that, your speakers or your the guy's comments, especially the last one about the rules. I'm about the same age, and the best advice I can give is do not be afraid to change. Like I said, about the same age, I've had, I guess you could say, almost six careers, and willingly just wanting change, looking for change, looking for to do something different, do something better, more interesting. And it was all because of the rules, because they laid out a bunch of rules that really didn't apply.
Well, Todd, so don't be afraid to change is what I'm hearing from you.
Exactly.
So that is also maybe kind of like keep your eye on the prize in a way. Like, it's not about... You're going to probably encounter little bumps along the way and, like, learn from them and move forward is another way of saying don't be afraid to change.
Right. Do what you want to do. Try your best. If you fail, well, try something different.
Todd, thank you for that call.
You're welcome.
Let's talk to Maggie now. Maggie is with us from Overland Park. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to advise the young high school graduate to not think about what you want to do for the rest of your life, but what you want to do for the next 5 years. And it will morph into something that, if it is something you love, it'll be something that you love even more, because life is so dynamic and it will continually change along with you or you with it.
Well, Maggie, thank you for that. Kendrick, you've heard now three pieces of advice. Are you taking notes yet?
Of course I'm taking notes. I took notes from all three. From Mike the Soldier, he spoke of rights versus privileges, which gets to expectations. In thinking about this generationally, growing up, as I did in the 80s, we had high expectations living in the wild suburbs of Overland Park. We really did expect to take on the mantle and, as our parents had, make more money than our parents. You know, that the baby boom generation that were my parents made significantly more money than their parents, and that expectation that that would continue was just there. And the fact that that hasn't come to pass is an awakening, I guess. Was an awakening for me. Preach Todd. He's been through six careers, he said. I guess maybe I could count three or four. You remember when I left the pitch. I left journalism not willingly. And I have to confess, there were only 2 days that I really missed journalism after that. I was a stay-at-home dad and was working on this house project we had going on. And I couldn't decide if that was a sign that I had left journalism at exactly the right time for me, if I should have left 10 years earlier or what. But that Todd's encouragement to be willing to try something new or to change, it's a hard one to adhere to. But
because you don't know what the next thing will be, and you don't know that you will like it better. You don't know that it will work.
And the problem with it for young people is they haven't tried anything yet. So until they're still looking for step one, I mean, you have to do something. You have to start doing something before you decide that's a terrible idea, I'm going to try something else.
And you have to give it a chance for long enough to know that it's not just the learning curve you don't like.
Yeah. And Maggie's near-term goal, I think, makes a lot of sense, too, because we can't project much farther than 5 years anyway.
Yeah, well, we have to take a quick break. In just a minute, we'll have someone joining this conversation who is a youth, and we'll also hear from someone who worked at Walmart in high school and beyond to share what he and his coworkers saw as their options at that stage in life. I'm Gina Kaufman, seeking advice for young grads, 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and we're seeking advice for high school graduates in 2019. What's the conventional wisdom now? Because the world is changing, so in theory, the advice ought to change with it. Or is there some timeless piece of advice that applies no matter what the economy looks like and no matter whether the robots take over or not? 816-235-2888. Call us up and tell us. Or if you can't get through, you can always tweet us. We are at KCURCST, taking advice that way too. My guest so far has been Kendrick Blackwood, a Kansas Cityan who's currently teaching high school in China. Hi again, Kendrick.
Good to hear your voice again. I'm still here.
Okay, good. My next guest is Ruby Rios. She's 19 years old. She just finished her first year at UMKC, and she was making 30 under 30 lists before she'd even finished high school. Hi, Ruby.
Hello.
So let's talk about your story real quick. How'd you end up being one of the most successful people under 30 before turning 20?
Well, it kind of goes back a lot further than high school for me. So in the fifth grade, I attended an all-girls app developing camp. And I think the key word there was all girls. It was a really safe and supportive environment for me to learn how to code. So then when I decided to further pursue coding, I found myself in co-ed environments that weren't so safe and supportive and where I was typically the only girl in the room. And then once I got to high school, I took a community college class over at Johnson County Community College for computer science and found that the being the only girl in the room didn't change. And so I decided that I wanted to do something because it didn't make sense that out of all of these girls I was seeing around me who were so smart and who were so capable of being in STEM, that I was the only one in the room. So I started Girls Who Code clubs. I started my own organization with my friend Aaron Smith, really focusing on trying to get junior high and high school girls the ability to learn computer science. And
a nonprofit. When you say started an organization, you're not talking about a school club.
Oh, well, yeah, kind of a nonprofit. It wasn't technically one, but it was something we ran a little group because we recognized that we wanted girls to have the ability to get coding experiences in semesters, because also in high school, you're doing a whole bunch of other stuff. And so sometimes fitting things into a busy schedule like another club gets difficult.
You have to already really want it.
Oh, yeah. And it's difficult because of the fact that starting from as young as the second grade, we get these stereotypes in our head, whether we're good at something or not. And so trying to get junior high and high school girls to decide, actually, no, these stereotypes are wrong. I'm going to go and do this thing because it's so cool.
I can see myself in this. Yeah. So you have achieved a lot at 19. You had already achieved a lot at 18. You are in college now, but what is it that you think you're going to get from college? Do you even feel like you need the degree?
That's a really tricky question, because of the fact it's hard to – one of the things that makes college so difficult is that it's hard to predict the future anymore, especially with the way technology is progressing and the way that the world is moving. It's hard to know exactly what you need for the future.
Just get it all if you can?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts. Come prepared. I think some – no matter what happens in the future, the best thing you can give yourself is an education.
What do you think of the advice we've heard so far?
I think it's interesting. One of the points I really agree with was the plan for 5 years. And then because of the fact that I think some of the best advice I've taken from other people is that they'll get a college degree and then they'll do something completely outside of their college degree. And they'll find that they love that. And that's, I think, we put so much pressure on young people to pick out exactly what they're going to be doing. And we're like, is this really what you want to be doing? And kind of really put them in this position where they feel like, oh, the weight of the world is on me. I've got to make the decision now that's going to last me for the rest of my life. And that's just not the case. If you get a college degree of any sort, find a college degree in an area that makes you at least slightly happy. And then from there, whatever job you kind of go from there, your career will progress throughout the rest of your life. And it will turn into something that isn't your degree.
So happy still seems like a consideration?
Yeah. I mean, I think I think the hard part about this conversation is because there's so many unknowns. That at the end of the day, you can't predict. One of the major things I'm hearing right now is STEM degrees. And those are important, yes, because we need to understand how to use the technology that we have in this world and how to make – if we're the ones who are able to change the technology and improve the technology, we're never going to be out of work because there's got to be someone who can do that. But at the same time, that's not – while I'm a big advocate for STEM degrees, I also recognize there's a whole bunch of other fields, and we don't know how those fields are going to progress. Maybe someday we're going to create robots that can fix all of the world's problems with music, and then we're going to need a whole bunch of musicians.
That is a nice utopian vision of that's what the robots are going to do, and I like it, Ruby. Okay, so my next guest is Coy Duggar. You've heard him announcing on weekends here on KCUR. You've also heard me say his name at the end of our shows when I name the producers of Central Standard. He is 24, just a pup, and he is leaving us for a new job next week. It'll be his first ever full-time salaried position with benefits, and we will hear a little bit about how he got here now. Coy, hello.
Good morning, Gina. Yeah, I'm so sad to go, but thank you for having me on today's show. I'm really glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So set the scene for me. You're 18. You're finishing up high school. What are you doing? Where do you live? What does your life look like?
Right. So 18, just finishing high school. 17 when I was graduated. But I was probably...
always a little bit advanced.
I was probably panicking because everything was not quite as clear. I grew up in East Kansas City, went to Raytown High School, and I was working at Walmart. My career trajectory was kind of nebulous. I was looking to go to a community college. I ended up going to MCC Longview later that semester for the fall semester. And yeah, everything was just not quite certain. And it was really just a moment where I had to kind of find a path to forge. And you kind of have this overbearing narrative of you have to go to college, like after high school, you just have to go. Like that's something that a lot of students are facing nowadays. And for me, my personal experience, my mom migrated from the Philippines to America, and I'm the first in my family to go to college and graduate from college. And so that precedent wasn't there. Like, I remember, you know, my senior year, like all my classmates who had plans to go to college were talking about their majors. And I'm like, I don't even know what a major is. Like, I have to declare that, you know, like when does that step happen? You know, like I was like, I want to do communications. I want to do broadcasting. Like, is there something for that? And luckily, going to community college, the first 2 years, you don't have to declare a major necessarily. I just got my general liberal arts degree. That's what I was working towards. And so luckily that was kind of in my, that suited me because I did not have to make any bold decisions. So for that planning for 5 years deal, sometimes even if you just need to plan for 2 years, like what are you going to do for the next 2 years? Like start with small steps. That's really a great thing to have the opportunity to do.
Are there other options that you considered at that juncture that you sometimes think back on, like, I wonder what if?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, there's plenty. Like, for a long time, I was training to, like, kind of do electrical engineering. Like, and then I took calculus, which completely shifted that plan for me. I'm not exactly the best at calculus, but I was thinking, well, maybe I could go into engineering. My dad worked road construction. Like, I would have good rep with the construction company he was with, Superior Bow. And I was like, well, maybe I could, you know, lay asphalt because it pays really well right out of the gate. Like, I was like, maybe I could do something like that. So,
and pays really well right out of the gate. That's nothing to sneeze at.
No, that's nothing to sneeze at. And everyone's financial situation is different. And you kind of really have to assess for yourself. Don't be like, if you're a high school student, don't be pressured by what people are telling you, what the narrative is. Look at your own situation. If it is that you need a stable place to live on your own, you need that income to kind of like fuel you forward. And then, you know, once you have that nest egg, so to speak, and you can jump off from there, like, go for it. Like, go into what you feel will be most secure for you. Like, it's your life. Do what you want to do. And, you know, like, road construction was looking really appealing at that point in my life just because, you know, there's a concept in Filipino culture called balikbayan, which loosely translates to repatriate. And so, like I didn't really have like a college fund, like because like a lot of like my parents, like excess money would be going to help my mom's family in the Philippines. Like that's a common practice in Filipino families. Not to say that my parents didn't support me. They were very supportive. They were like, you can do whatever you want to do. Like we'll be there for you. They let me stay in their house, you know, without paying rent for like 4 years, like while I was going to college. That is huge. And so like, but yeah, once again, I did not have that college fund. So like, looking to support myself after graduating, I'm like, yeah, road construction was definitely looking like an option.
Would you do anything differently if you knew then what you know now, 6 years later?
Well, 6 years later, I definitely would have taken job shadowing a lot more seriously in high school. Like, just show up, find out if that's an environment you want to work in, because, you know, like I mentioned, like after I took calculus, I was like, okay, engineering is not for me. And, you know, after seeing like what a general engineer does, like at the kind of like starting levels, I was like, that's not exactly what I would like to do either. And that's kind of in the realm of what it is that figure out what you want to do. You don't have to have a concrete plan. Like you can have just a general plan, but figuring out what you don't want to do is just as important.
Our intern shared an article the other day published in the Wall Street Journal as we were getting ready for the show. And it says, when your dad offers to buy you a new laptop computer for graduation, tell him you want to circumnavigate the globe instead. It also informs parents that they need to be sure their kids have enough money for Starbucks in that first year of college. How do you hear advice like that, meant to be universal and generic, that is so totally out of reach for so many people?
Yeah, well, that's definitely coming from like a position of privilege. Definitely, one, like, what kind of trip can you get around the world that's, you know, the cost of a laptop? That I'm questionable about that. And, you know, like, with a laptop being $700, some people don't, you know, they just don't have that. So I don't think that's exactly practical advice to a lot of high school seniors, especially ones that are coming from like first generation families. I think what is more helpful than money is that you have your parents' support, like that no matter what, they're going to be there to like fall back for that emotional support, that advice, et cetera, that you know that like to have someone there to tell you that no matter what you're doing, where you're going, if something doesn't work out, you can always come back. And that's what my dad said to me. It's like, if something doesn't work out, we're always here for you. You can always come back to us.
Aw, that is awesome. Kendrick Blackwood, jump back in. Are you learning things that you might share with the high schoolers you teach in China?
I liked, I'm on the edge of my seat. Ruby's target of being slightly happy speaks to me just a little. and I do hear from both these young people, there is this pressure, commit, choose. And you have to go to college, by the way. Some of the advice feeds I'm getting and kind of how I'm changing my mind is maybe that automatic have to do thing of going to college maybe could be softened to, go to a trade school or junior college to get some core out of the way while you work on some practical skills. My initial nursing suggestion in part is because nursing is a field where you can sort of dip your toe in a sense that there are various levels of nursing certification, nursing expertise, and the salaries that go with that. So you can enter as a nursing assistant while you go to school and work your way up to LVN and RN. Up to a woman across the street was once I think she was a doctorate of nursing, which I thought was a very powerful sounding degree. But allowing young people to sort of work and practice and try and intern.
And the idea that there are steps.
Yeah. that you don't have to.
Clear
you don't
steps.
Have to apply, yeah. The requirement that you have to apply for medical school and then spend 6 years in school before you really do it. I mean, at that point, you're committed.
Yeah.
How hard is that career, that degree to walk away from?
Well, okay. So let's hear what our listeners are telling us about advice for high school grads. So far, we've focused on career. And I sense that Molly in Kansas City wants to focus on something else. Hi, Molly.
Hi.
What do you want to share? Good.
What I want to say is that don't confuse achievement and its success with well-being. Just because you're driven, you're trying to figure out your way in the world, and you achieve that, you also have to focus on how do I cope with these changes and the anxiety that it creates. And know that your physical brain is not going to be the same physical brain when you at 18 as it is when you're 20. And when you're going through these major portions of your life where you're making life decisions and you're feeling anxiety about it, learning how to cope with that anxiety, identifying it, and finding people in your community that can help you, that you trust, that understand it, is one of the most important tools that you can have to help you navigate this uncertainty. Because if you don't have the ability to identify what's triggering you, what's causing anxiety, you don't have the ability to maintain professionalism and environment. You don't have wellness. You can't go home and sleep at night. And if you can't do those things, you can't do anything else.
Molly, thank you for that insight. It is interesting to me, this basic discrepancy between achievement and well-being.
Yes. And so the thing, my hope, and I think that this is a hope that is really possible for this generation, because they're one of the first generations that has actually been able to openly talk about mental wellness, is that they can take hold of these resources that they have in the community online. You know, you don't necessarily have to go to a counselor. It's great if you can, if you have those resources, but identify who in your life accepts you as who you are, as you are right now.
Molly, thank you.
And really is willing to nurture you.
Thank you so much.
Because if you don't have that, you don't have anything. So
yeah,
find out, you know, pay attention to your insecurities, identify your triggers and your stresses. Do you have difficult relationships? Don't ignore that. Don't stuff it, because it comes back out when you get that job. And then you're like overwhelmed and you can't cope, especially if you become a nurse.
Okay, especially if you take Kendrick's advice from a previous lifetime to go into nursing. I want to take one more quick call before we take a break. Laura in Kansas City, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today? This is a great show.
Thanks. What do you want to share?
Well, my mother told me when I graduated from college, which we were all expected to go, but her advice was terrific, and she was basically saying, do as I say and not as I do. She went to 2 years of college and then got married, started a family. And so her advice to me was to make sure that I could take care of myself before I took care of others. So know that I could live on my own, know that I could take care of myself, that I could work, that I could, you know, support myself. And she and my dad were married over 60 years, so it's not that she thought her way was wrong. It's just that she wanted, I think, for me to have even more choices.
Yeah. Thank you, Laura.
And I think
it's, sorry about that, Laura. We have to go to a break. It's, so be able to take care of yourself is Laura's mom's advice. What is your advice to high school graduates? 816-235-2888. We'll be right back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. And if I remember anything from being 18, it's that people love to give 18-year-olds advice. So we are asking you, what is your advice for 18-year-olds today? You can call us at 816-235-2888. You got to do it quick because we're running short on time now. But you can also tweet us at KCURCST. My guests are Kendrick Blackwood, who teaches in China. He teaches high schoolers who seek such advice. And I am also joined by accomplished youths, Ruby Rios and Coy Duggar, KCUR's own Coy Duggar, but just for a little longer. Hi again, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
So we just heard some advice. We're going to go back to hearing listeners' advice. But Ruby, what does it feel like to receive all this advice?
I think the interesting thing about receiving all of this advice is that it's all so general, in a sense, because it's all just life advice.
Follow your heart. It's all clear now, right?
Oh, yes. I know exactly my life trajectory. I think there's this kind of, everyone who imparts advice onto high schoolers, I think they all really mean well. But I think one of the hard parts about the advice is it's life advice. It's general advice. It's as if you haven't really been living before you were 18. And you have been. You kind of have a basic understanding of who you are and kind of, while you may not know exactly what you want to do, I think by giving all this advice, sometimes that the slight understanding of what you might want to do kind of sometimes can get a little muddled, because it's like, well, and everyone's telling me to do all these different things. I don't know what I want to do.
It can feel like you're the repository of other people's either fears or regrets.
Yes, that is the perfect way to say that. Because there's so many mistakes you are going to make when you are 18, 19, 20. 21. There's no getting around all of the mistakes you're going to make when you're in those age ranges. And as much as you might try to sponge up and all of the information that everyone around you is giving you, there's no way you can do that. You're just barely out of having to raise your hand to go to the bathroom. There's no way you can plan a budget and know how to completely figure out all of your life stuff. You're going to probably spend one night in your dorm crying while you're doing your laundry and eating a bowl of ramen, because that's what 18-year-olds do in college.
Koi is nodding his head vigorously, and it does come back, Koi, a little bit to what you said about the best thing that you heard at that age was from your dad when he said that you could come back if you ever needed to.
Yeah, I mean, you learn a lot from failure, and failure's an okay thing to do. I mean, this idea that you need to succeed, it's like, yeah, but what is success? Like, I know that's very philosophical, but it's like, you can still succeed, but also fail, and that's okay. And failure is a great thing.
Yeah, one of my phases that I would think from the outside would look like one of my less successful periods in my life, I remember thinking to myself, I like the way I spend my days. And that was important to me at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it should be important all the time, but I was resisting the impulse to measure in any other way. And nope. that was a great learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think the best advice you can get is to be yourself and do what makes you happy. I think it's so hard because everyone will have an opinion, and it's just all about, like, spend your days the way you want to spend your days. And even if they're not, like, the most productive days or
they're not adding up to something 10 years from now.
Yeah. But I mean, at the moment, all you have is today. So, like, you make decisions based off of what you know and your own experiences. And at the end of the day, that's really like that's all you can do.
So I had a classmate going to Longview Community College, and he was the oldest of six other siblings growing up in a single parent household. Sorry. And for him, his priority was to get into a very stable career as soon as possible to help provide for his other siblings. And, you know, I won't use his name since I did not talk to him prior to this to mention him, but he took 2 years at a community college, got into HVAC, and his salary is probably twice what I'm making now. And so for him, like, getting in that position to help his other siblings out is what mattered. And so, like, when you want to find, like, your own, like, definitions of success, you know, defining that, you know, you really have to take that deep dive, because only you can find that answer. No one else can find it for you.
We're hearing on Twitter that you should not feel like you have to go to college immediately, especially if money is a concern. Don't underestimate community colleges. If you go to college, work a job on the side, stay in touch with the world outside of your campus. It's invaluable. I want to turn to Chris in Lenexa. We have raised the question of what continent is the stable place for success, the destination for stability, and Chris has maybe a take on this. Hi, Chris. Chris and Lenexa, are you there? Okay, sadly, I don't hear Chris answering my question about whether he is there. Kendrick, are you so you've been taking notes. What do you hear in this conversation as it has evolved with the youths themselves?
The most recent turn we took with the conversation, I didn't get the caller's name written down if it was shared, but she just spoke about taking care of your emotional well-being. And she mentioned, or perhaps it was you, that today there's more ability to have a conversation about mental health. It brings to mind, along with this uncertainty that young people today have to deal with, they're also coming of age at a time in America where there is a lot more tolerance and ability to be a little different. And I think in terms of the mental health awareness, I think in terms of LGBT issues, that when I was graduating from high school in 1987, it wasn't something we talked about at all, frankly. And that was one other way you could be different and off the predicted path for success. I relish the way technology has allowed people to find their people, realize they're not alone, etc. And what Coy just said is for each of us, for all of us, success is unique and different. And even at 44, where I was trying to figure out personally what success was for me, that was a big break because I realized, oh my gosh, I've been chief of staff to the mayor. I need to have a certain kind of job. It was a huge adjustment mentally for me to think, you know, what I really want to try is teaching, and I really want to live overseas, and I'm going to now set this goal, even though this goal doesn't quantify success based on an old model. So I just really appreciate that Molly and Coy seem to be figuring out for themselves what success is and are allowed, either by their own determination or by a change in acceptance among the world, they're allowed to pursue that in the way they see fit.
Let's talk. I want to try to get to a couple more of these calls, and I want, so they're going to have to be a little bit quick, but Rick in Lenexa, what do you have to share?
Hi, Gina. I wanted to piggyback off that idea of the success that we envision for ourselves and what we expect of ourselves. And something I wish that I had learned sooner was that those ideas might change just as we do, where some people might leave our lives or we might have a different career path than we thought we would have even the day before. And it's important to understand that while we may have these ideas of success, it's also equally important to not be attached to them and to just flow where you need to. Maybe one day you think this is what your major wants to be. Maybe the next day you think, well, maybe I want to be in trade school. My suggestion is to kind of learn who you are and go with it as you learn.
Don't get too attached to any specific outcome.
That's what I wish I had learned sooner. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick. And my phrasing of that comes from something I heard a diplomat say about what helps you in negotiations. So for what that's worth. Chris in Lenexa is back. Chris, location, location, location.
Hi there. What I learned from my youngest son is he surprised us by showing us a one-way ticket to New Zealand. And he had applied for a 1-year work visa, went to New Zealand, totally out of his comfort zone, absolutely out of ours, and turns out that New Zealand is a fantastic place for 20-somethings and late teens. They flock there from all over the world to work and explore, and the whole economy there caters to these transient 20-somethings, and they pay 20, 25 bucks an hour to do all kinds of things. And he learned several different things. Well, he came back a year later, a different, changed person. He had a big world experience. He knew what he wanted to do with his life.
So go to New Zealand.
It was transformational. Go to New Zealand, kids.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. So as far as location, Kendrick's question about what continent, what country, turns out New Zealand. We have a couple of tweets that are interesting, and I want to fit them in here. Sarah, for those who do go to college, she says that her advice is that for most careers, it matters little what degree you graduate with and matters a lot what experiences you got. Get as many volunteer, paid, and internships in the fields you're interested in as you can. Also, college is the only time in your life when you have access to tons of experts. Learn everything and have fun. So that's some advice from Sarah. I just want to quickly ask our youths, what is the advice you hope never to hear again?
Oh,
like either you've heard it enough, people can stop saying it now, or like this is totally unrealistic and does not recognize my reality.
This is just the whole like, I think it's kind of weird, but one of the things I heard so much when I was graduating is, like, we can't wait to see what you do next. And we can't, what's the next thing? Please don't ask high school seniors what the next thing is or what they're doing next. They don't know. Probably as an adult, you don't know what you're doing next. And so putting that expectation on a young person, I mean, it's a little frustrating sometimes.
Yeah. Coy?
Play to your strong suits. If you can make a weakness into a strength, if you have the interest to back that up, you don't necessarily have to do what you're good at in high school if it's not what you want to do, like, moving forward.
You can work hard and get better at
something. You can work hard and get better.
Coy, and I want to say you have proven that many times over in your very short time at KCUR, and appreciate that advice and the truth you have lived behind it. And our producer, Melody, says she never wants to hear work for free. So for what that's worth, everyone, our time is up. Kendrick Blackwood, thanks for staying up late to talk to us from China.
It's been a delight.
And Coy Duggar, Ruby Rios, thanks for representing the youths today.
I was glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a wrap for today's show. You can keep giving advice to high school grads knowing it's been solicited for once on Twitter. We are at KCURCST. Just don't say play to your strengths. And don't ask what's next. Tomorrow, meet the artist behind the contentious mural in downtown Overland Park. What was his vision anyway? That conversation is tomorrow. The show is produced by Melody Rao, Coy Duggar, Chris Young, and intern Salisa Kalakal. Our senior producer is Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman.